Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome you all here today, and I do pray you have a blessed Christmas season, and that you would keep Jesus at the center of it. I talked to a father in the faith to me, Steve Wilbur. You've heard me talk about Steve. He's an amazing guy. I called him yesterday and wished him a Merry Christmas. He says, well, I'd like to make this perfectly clear. You have to hear Steve. I'll say it in the Steve Wilbur voice. Christmas has one thing to do with a child that was born. That's all it is for me. It's not about the presents. It's not about what you're going to get or what you're going to give. And boy, could we just get back to that, amen, and celebrate all the extra stuff, but most of all that he came to give you something. And so I got kind of a funny name of the sermon, and actually, what is it? But actually, it's, I rewrote it, and they didn't put that on the overhead. It's actually, you ever get something like, thanks. What is it? You know, at some point in your life, you probably had something like that happen to you. But even something that so many of us take for granted. You know, I was raised religiously and never heard until I was ripe for it, I guess. Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? Amazing to go to church for 18 years and be in a religious community and never been confronted with that actual idea. And so you could be here this morning and you have no idea why we're excited, why we're raising hands. What is it? I mean, let's just sing the songs and do our religious thing and go home. But how many know that for you it's much more than that? I mean, there's coming a day when I'm going to step into eternity and I'm going to be able to say the word Jesus that has been my word for now over 40 years. Just last week, in my time with the Lord, I opened the Bible and I just kind of said, hello, old friend. Because there's so many moments. It's not going to be a desperate, oh, Jesus, save me. It's going to be, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for a life. And thank you that I have eternal life in you. You know, there's a statement that you probably heard. I once was blind, but now I see. And it's possible for you to actually be blind this morning. Know all about Jesus, know why he came, even understand intellectually that he died on a cross for you and that God sent him to be your way of salvation. It's absolutely possible for you to totally, intellectually, totally understand all of that and still be blind. There has to take place in your life a miracle. And one of the ways that you can tell that you're not blind anymore is you see life totally different. And now what you see changes your perspective and there's fruit that you are following God. God is affecting you and confronting your life and you cannot live the way you used to live. It's constantly changing you. That's what salvation is about. So when I say thanks, what is it? What I'm trying to bring across this morning is that it's possible to know all about the Jesus that we sing about, the Jesus that we celebrate, that we remember this time of year, but it's possible that you have no idea what he can unlock for you. Amen. Wasn't last week's sermon a great sermon? Every sermon, it wasn't that it was a great sermon because I preached it, but it was a great sermon because the truth of this child that unlocks your destiny is so exciting to me, and we're going to see that even more here. If we would just open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read about the story of Peter. And the first mention in the Bible, Pastor Branham mentions that, the first mention is always a key of a truth that God wants to bring home. And it's the first mention of the church in the New Testament, the called out ones, the ones that once were blind, but now something has happened in their life and it has changed their whole perspective of how they live life. So I'm going to have the worship team come up here about 25 after, and they're not interrupting me, but I've asked them to come and help me so I don't drift away. And if I want to preach till noon, they'll just be up here in the background, okay? But we're going to get done around 11:30 today. But Father, I'm just asking right now, I am so aware of your presence and your anointing. It's got to be here for a reason, not just to tickle our ears or make us feel good, but you are manifesting yourself. You're bringing the invisible into the visible. And I'm asking, Father, right now that you'd open all of our eyes, saved and unsaved, that we would see you in a different way. And Father, that you would open our hearts to be able to receive truth, that you'd break down the barriers that we have that would limit what you want to say to us, that God, it would be just fresh, and open our ears that we might hear you. And everybody agreed with me and said, amen. Amen. So be it, right? So the story starts. I'm going to read the portion of Scripture, and I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to all stand up as I read this portion of Scripture. You know, in the Jewish synagogue, when they would walk around with the Torah, the whole congregation would stand up and celebrate the Word of God. So we want to honor God's Word. When Jesus came, it's Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the regions of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man?" So they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should not tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you for your word, Lord. You can all be seated. So there's been a lot of, in the last several weeks, there's been a lot of talk about what's going on in the United Nations. And so if you watch TV, you'd see supposedly all the nations are there and they're puffing themselves up like they're in control. And but just think about if all of the United Nations of all the world were in one place, and then you had the Council of Churches all came there as well. And then Jesus himself comes and he's standing on the floor and he says to all the nations and he says to all the councils of the church, "Who do you think I am?" Because somewhat, that's the background of why he's in Caesarea Philippi. It was the thinking pot. He was surrounded by more than a dozen different denominations, or I won't say denominations, but a dozen different thoughts about what God was and who God was, plus all of the thinking of the world. And so actually what he was doing, it was coming towards the end of his life, and he was separating himself from even the Jewish people so that he could have an impact with these 12 men, because he was about to leave the earth and these 12 men. And really, in some ways, what he was saying is, I wonder if any of you guys have even got this. If you even understand who I am. So you have God standing among mere men and being compared with mere men. If I was to ask you what you thought, and please don't respond, about who Donald Trump, or what's that Pelosi, the Speaker of the House? Nancy. Oh, Nancy. What you think about Nancy, or even what you think about the governor of our state. And probably, you know, I talked to a guy the other day, and I just happened to mention Syracuse, and he just went on and on and on. I said, boy, you need to get an attitude or an opinion. He's full of it. But you might have a stronger opinion about Donald Trump than you do Jesus Christ, or Nancy Pelosi than you do Jesus Christ. It's a great question to ask people, you know, who do you think Jesus is? And the response that you have, you go blank, is very telling. Or you're kicking out and spitting out all the religious things that you've heard about him, and that's all you've got to say. I remember, I think it might have been Tozer had one night, an angel or something came into his room, and the angel said, he was kneeling down and he was worshiping and he was, you know, kind of mumbling along, and all of a sudden an angel appeared to him and said something like, you can do better than that. And all of a sudden he started on fire. He began to praise God. And so when you love somebody, if all you can say is, yeah, I love you. When you really love somebody, it goes deeper. It goes into actions. It goes into gifts. It goes into how you talk about them when you're not with them. In other words, when somebody impacts your life so that you're loved and you love them, there is nothing more powerful that'll affect you. In fact, I think the key to serving the Lord is not what you think about him, it's about loving him. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with your all. And if you would focus on that, it would straighten out so many different relationships, because if you want to have a right relationship with him and you want to please him in everything, it will affect how you work, it will affect how you treat other people, but it must stay at the forefront. It's the key that you would love the Lord your God, and you can't do it without the help of this Jesus. And so once you decide, if the Holy Spirit brings you to the point where, you know, I would like to do that. I would like to know God. I'd like to receive Jesus into my life. I feel like I'm not right with him, and I want to get right with him. That's a good place for you to be. That means that God is moving on your life. Something's starting to happen in your life, and God is trying to take you to the point where in your own understanding of it, because it's not as simple as we say sometimes, but God's trying to bring you to the place where you're confronted with the fact that you don't know him, that your sins have separated you from him, and you want him to take your sins away, not so that you won't go to hell, maybe that's part of it, but you want to be right with God, and so you don't know how this is going to work, but Lord, I'm asking you, Jesus, I'm asking you, to save me. And you might think that doesn't even affect you, when I would say that there's 100 or more people in this room that have done that and it changed their whole life, because something happened when you asked Jesus to be your Savior. Amen. Amen? And so Jesus is asking you today, you that are in the church, you that know about him, who do you think I am? Who do people say that I am? And do you agree with the liberal stance of Christianity? Knowing him, like you know that person that you love better, there's always at least one person that's the love of your life in this world. Somebody. Mom, dad, husband, wife. But the Word of God tells us in that day, I'm going to say it my own, it's in Jeremiah chapter 31, 34, and they shall teach no man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of you, if I could say it this, from the most unreligious person in this room, or maybe I probably qualify the least smart person in this room, to the big lofty person, doesn't matter where you are, you cannot say, God won't receive me. And not only is he going to receive you, But he's saying, I don't want you to be religious. I don't want you simply becoming part of a makeover club where you try to be good all your life. I want you to ask me, God, to come in. When the worship team was singing that prophetic psalm, because that's what it was, who is the King of glory? Open up ye heavenly gates. And the King, there's an ancient gateway in your spirit, if I could say it that way, that when you make a decision to open your life up, that gateway was shut because of your own rebellion, because of our own sin, and God says, I will come if you will invite me to walk up to the ancient gateway of your life. I've got a key that will unlock that, and the King of glory, the maker of heaven and earth, the one that breathed life in you and gave you a spark, he will come in. And he will rock the house. He will shake the house. When Jesus came into the temple, you know, we look at this sometimes as a real condemnation or on the religious community. But God is upset with the sin that rips you off. God is upset with things that you've allowed or the enemy has pushed into your life that causes you not to be victorious and not to have a full life. He's come that you might have love, life, and that have it abundantly. So he takes out, just like when he walked in the temple, he took out the whip and he drives out those things that have caused you not to be the house of God. And if God is not driving stuff out of your life, I question who he is to you. Having a consciousness of your brokenness, I think, is a gift. I've never been able to shake it. I still need a Savior to save me from my sins. I've been saved for 40 years. I know I'm saved, but every day I need a Savior to save me. The Holy Spirit will not let me get puffed up and self-reliant because he realizes that's a downward spin. You must stay in that position like I shared last week of humility. Jesus said this in John 17, and this, he's praying for us, this Jesus that we're talking about. And Father, I pray that they might know you the way I know you. For this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Christ whom you have sent. Do you have eternal life today? You don't have eternal life today if you don't have Jesus Christ in the right place. And I can't put him there. No doctrine can put him there. No good work can put him there. The Holy Spirit is pulling you and drawing you. You are here not by accident. You might want to get out. Ushers, please hold the door shut. You wonder, how did I ever get here? But I firmly believe that you're here because God wants you to be his son and his daughter. God is inviting you. God is knocking on your door. It just a matter, do you honestly recognize it? Do you recognize it? And would God reveal himself to mere men? Jesus said, you're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And so I can't. God can put an anointing on his word that speaks through me, and it can shake you, and it literally can unlock. But the only one that can make you born again, the only one that can cause you to see what I'm talking about, is that you personally have to have an encounter with the presence of God. And that's what he's after you about. That's why you've been thinking about him more often. That's why these moments that you've had and the presence of God, you don't recognize it, but all of a sudden you're thinking about God things. You're thinking about eternity. You're starting to be bothered by your inconsistencies. Your sins are start, if you want to call them that, they're starting to trouble you. Blessed are you. God is saying, come. If you can just recognize what's going on in your life. How many have had that happen to you? And God brought you to a place. He brought you to a place of confrontation, face to face. Not a fleshly face. But I'd like to ask you this morning, could you just quickly tell me, you know, there's a saying, where were you when John F. Kennedy was assassinated? Or maybe, where were you when 9/11 happened? But I want to ask you this morning, where were you when you first accepted Christ and you were aware of it? And I'm just, a quick thought, I'll tell you where I was the first time that I was really in the presence of God. I didn't even realize it at the moment. I was kneeling next to a telephone pole out in front of my brother's house, crying out to God, saying, God, I don't know who you are. I don't even know if you are Jesus. I have no clue, but I want to know who you are. Can anybody else tell me about Bill? Yeah. God bless your sister Betty. What a sweetheart. Somebody over here? Yes. Nice and loud because they won't hear you. I don't.
I was 10 years old and I was at Christian camp and my counselor said that I had to ask Christ into my heart. And I just closed my eyes and prayed with her. And I actually had a vision.
A vision. That stuff happens.
Yeah.
Awesome. Dale?
I was in my dad's living room with this lady right here when I was 17 years old, and we were overshadowed by the holiness of God, and all I could say was, God, forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
What an experience that was.
Amen. George?
I lived most of my life in darkness, and then just one day, Kelly and I were standing in my dining room, and out of nowhere, spirits of me talking to me said, your life is wrong.
I love that. Standing in my living room, there is no safe place to hide from God. Amen. And so, Peter, just quickly.
Okay, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit in my parents' house in New Jersey, I was walking by to my steps, I was going up the steps, and I suddenly got hit with my prayer language, and I quickly asked Mom, can you impersonate anybody's prayer language? And my mother said, well, speak it. So I did. She said, no, son, you can't. That is God's given.
Amen. Amen. I know Isaiah shared with me he got saved around when he was 5 years old. He can still remember kneeling and having his mom lead him in the center prayer and something happened. My daughter got saved when she was 5. There's every one of you in here that have been born again that where God could walk up to you and say, blessed are you, Robbie, for flesh and blood did not reveal Jesus to you, but my Father, my Father. And this is eternal life. That they would know you and Jesus Christ whom you sent. So this statement that Jesus is making, he, just for a minute, you know, we think about Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God with us, it means God among us, it means God for us. We're celebrating Emmanuel. But you think about Peter, and where did it start for Peter? I've often thought about how did that work where would Jesus, when he was walking, Gail, he would just walk up to you and say, Gail, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And it seems like over and over in the scripture, many of the apostles, that's all we get. But when you look at Peter's life, I think what happens is you begin to see that there's a lot going on behind Matthew before Jesus walks up to Matthew at his tax collection booth and said, follow me. He probably heard a lot of what Jesus was doing. I mean, it was a stirring that was going on. And with Peter, there's many things, but I think the first thing that I see in Peter's life, before this story, he was cleaning his nets one day in chapter 5 of Luke, and Jesus was being pressed by people to hear the word of God. And so he said to Peter, let me get in your boat and push out a little bit from the shore so I can speak to the people so that they don't run me over. And also the lake becomes an amplifier. And so he's preaching to the people. And in Luke 5, they don't even talk about what he was preaching. But when he got all done preaching, Jesus, key figure, turns to Peter and says, now launch out into the deep for a great catch. And Peter says, I have fished all night long and caught nothing. But because you said to do it, Jesus. And he put down his nets. And the Bible says it was such a big catch. It ripped his nets, sunk his boats. And what happened beyond that was, it says he became undone. And so didn't James and John, the sons of Zebedee. It was such a moment. And Jesus said to Peter, don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, I'm going to teach you how to catch men. And it's possible, think about this, it's possible he wasn't even born again yet. I can go back to when I was 8 years old. I can go back to when I was a freshman in high school, really lost. But I had Jesus doing things in my life that was breaking down these barriers. And when I was 19, it all came to a point where I was able to say, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life and save me. So I'm convinced that God's on the job with every one of you. And that God is showing himself up. You know, he says, Jesus talks about the fact that you must be born again. And he says this for you Christians, for me today. He says, are you so foolish to think that you started in a spiritual atmosphere and now you become perfect by the works of the flesh? Are you leaning on now your reputation or on your understanding of God or your perfect doctrine or you're a great this or a great that? Are you leaning on that? Are you so foolish to think that what you know and who you are in yourself is going to take you anywhere? And so he's saying you've got to understand that if you begin in the Spirit, look at how God intercepted your life and start paying attention. What did God do? And so Jesus tells it this way. He says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can you be born again? How can you go back into your mother's womb? Talk about blindness. And, you know, I was talking to the guy, witnessing to the guy that put in our doors here recently. And he came in and he's a big guy, real handsome guy. He's from New Jersey, I think, or Long Island. One of those places, can anything good come from New Jersey? it's a very interesting place. So isn't New York. But anyways, I started talking to him about the Lord and started talking to him about, where you're from and blah, blah, blah. And he asked, what kind of church are you? And I began to tell him, you know, we're a Christian church. I said, we have people from every denomination. We have all kinds of people off the streets. And he goes, yeah, you know, I have a cousin. And he got born again. He just went way over the top. I mean, the guy goes on missions trips and just goes all over the place. And I wanted to say something, but I've actually learned a couple times to shut my mouth. I wanted to say, you know, he says he's just gotten so fanatical. And I wanted to say, but I didn't because God pulled me back. I wanted to say, well, Jesus got pretty fanatical when he went to the cross too. But that was just smart mouth Dan. And I didn't. I didn't push him any further than the hook could sink at that moment. But what I noticed was here was a good-looking, successful businessman that had a lot of street knowledge that had no clue. He was blind, totally blind to what it really means to be a Christian. That word all, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all, means all. I can never do that. You're right. That's why Jesus came. To not just push you on the outside, but when you ask him in the inside, he is the King of glory. And he comes into the everlasting doors and he begins to do a renovation by the Spirit of God in your life. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Would God use mere men like you and me? I mean, this I think is one of the great tricks and one of the great deceptions of being a Christian is that you think you have to be real polished or that you have to know Allah. It's the anointing, it's the presence of God in your life that breaks every barrier in other people's lives. It's Jesus in you, the hope of glory. And there's even a twist on it where people can see some imperfection in you, but yet there's something so supernatural about you, it gives them hope that they are imperfect, but you are imperfect, and God did this for you, and God lives in you. So maybe he can live in me. And so God's a genius for some reason, he chose you and I to carry this glory in us, that we are the temple. That means that we are the church. We are the church, we are the body of Christ, but yet every one of us are a temple. We are a carrier of the living God. We are a carrier of God among us. We are a carrier of this God that is among mere men when we embrace it. And so Jesus said this to Peter. He said, the wind blows where it blows, but you don't know where it comes from. So it is with the Spirit of God. And so part of my message today to you is, if you got saved, it must be that somehow when the wind of God began to blow on your life, it didn't just blow on this tree that was hunkered down and I am going to resist, but you began to yield to the sweet fragrance of repentance. And you begin to hang out with other Christians. And you begin to pick up the Bible and begin to respond to that wind that was blowing on you. And maybe you even began to come to church and desire to be taught the Word of God. Maybe you even went further and took a foundations class. You did a lot of things. The wind was pushing you, and you were seeking as it was pushing you, and you found yourself in the kingdom. So I would say to you, having begun in the Spirit, now do you think you can just put it on autopilot? No. What's the wind blowing on your life right now about? It seems sometimes the smarter we get, or the more educated we get, or maybe even the more successful we get in the Lord, sometimes it's harder to stay to the fundamentals. When the fundamentals are, God is blowing on your life. He wants you to get right in the stream. He wants the wind to take you someplace. I say to you, Peter, you are Peter, which is a small rock. And on this rock of the revelation of God, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Peter, and he's saying this to Peter, but he's also saying it to all of us, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Most of us in the North Country have piled a lot of wood. I can remember piling wood when I was so small that I had to climb up on the pile to have kids, my brothers and sisters. And, you know, I've had this fantasy life about wood in the last several years. I pick up a piece, Scott, and I think, I'm going to remember this piece when I feed it to the fire. You ever do that, Dale? And you just have a senior moment. I mean, you can't remember it. And so I've got hundreds, maybe thousands of pieces of wood that I'm going to feed to the fire, and I forget them all. But, you know, I also thought about Joe Dolan. He pours these concrete cellars now. They don't put block upon block anymore. They put a mold up and they pour in all of this. But in the kingdom, Jesus said to Peter, and this is fascinating. It could be that Peter was the first born again, broke through man in the kingdom. Jesus being the cornerstone. And Jesus took that block called Peter, that rock, that living rock now that had come alive, and he bound him to himself. And then he took Robbie. Hundreds of years, thousands of years later, Robbie became an individual rock, a living stone. And God continuing to put them on. It says in Revelations that we are all built upon the cornerstone, Christ, but we're also built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Every one of you are unique. Every one of you are a rock that God wants to come alive. Every one of you is fit to be joined together. And it's no wonder to me that Peter, who was called by Jesus, because when you have a personal word from the Lord, it affects your life. And I know that that word for the keys of the kingdom is not just for Peter. It's also for me. But Peter wrote this in 1 Peter. He says, we are living stones. He got it. He understood as he meditated on what God was. We are built a spiritual house. We are built a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He understood it. And like I shared with you last week, as soon as you step into the kingdom, even Jesus himself, as soon as he began as a babe, once he was born, as soon as his parents began to obey the Lord, and then they began to obey the Lord by obeying the scriptures, God begins to speak destiny from heaven. And so God, as soon as Peter was born again, Jesus said, I want you to know, Peter, you're going to be a chip off the old block. What's happened to you and the revelation that you got, that you weren't just taught about God, you were born again. My Father showed you who I was. On that principle, from the least to the greatest, I'm going to build my kingdom. But Peter, I say to you and I say to the church, I'm going to give you keys. There's an anointing that you can have as a Christian that you do have when you go into situations, when you walk in the principles of God, opens things up. For instance, Peter found himself at Pentecost where Jesus told him to be. What happened? The power of God fell. Peter stood up, the man that Jesus said, I'm going to give you, I'm going to say it this way, I'm going to put myself in you and you're going to have such an anointing, it's going to open up everlasting doors. And what does it say? Peter preached and 3,000 people got saved. Prophetically, Jesus had already said it. In Acts chapter 10, what happened was the church was missing it and they didn't realize that they were called to all the Gentile world. God gave Peter a vision. He went to Cornelius' house, and as he's sharing the simple gospel, as a fisherman, as a preacher, as someone that's walking in the way, all of a sudden the power of God fell down and all the Gentiles got filled with the Holy Spirit and saved. Then he went to the council at Jerusalem and he told them about the experience, and God got it through finally to the church. I'm not just calling you to the Jewish nation. This Savior is the Savior of the world. Go into all the nations now and preach the gospel. So we see in Peter's life the fulfillment of you're going to open up. I've seen that in my life. You've seen that in your life. Peter had friends that hung with him that didn't have the personal word, but they watched Peter's life, and just a bouncing off reflection of God in your life has saved some of your kids, saved some of your friends. There's people being affected by the glow that's in the Spirit that you can't see in the natural, but you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come on, church. Amen. Blessed are you. You receive the gift. You opened up the gift. Jesus said, I'm going to unlock the kingdom. It's possible because he said to the Pharisees, woe unto you. You know about God, but you have made it so complicated, you're actually keeping people out. But then he says, I'm going to give you, Peter, the anointing to open up things. Then he says kind of a funny thing, saints, at the end. He says, now, don't tell anybody. I'm going to be rude for a minute. Some religious people just need to keep their mouth shut because they got such a perverted idea of what God is, even though they're saved. Hello? They're so hard, so legalistic, so Pentecostal, so stuck on some truth that Jesus would say, listen, and this happened to Peter right after this. Jesus told him, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer all these things. And Peter rebuked him. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You have no idea, you that I just said is born again, you that just had this, you have no idea what the kingdom of God is like. So in other words, what I would say is God saying, Now, you're born again, become teachable. You don't know as much as you think you do. Right, Don? You probably don't even know half of what you think you do. Come back to me. Understand that you started by God blowing on your life, by humbling yourself, and you opened up your life. And I did something supernatural in your life. Keep coming back to that place. Keep coming back to me. I'm your source. I'm your strength. Amen? So we're going to sit in the presence of God this morning. We're going to sing this last hymn, Silent Night. But I'm getting a fresh revelation myself, guys, about how important it is for you to have words spoken over your life. And I could pick out five people right now. I have a word for you. But if you feel like you'd like prayer this morning, I want to encourage you to come forward and let us just pray for you. If maybe you're in a spot where you really need the Lord to speak something to you. And so if maybe you're here this morning and God has brought you to the threshold now, you realize the next step for me is to open my heart. And you'll open your heart and you'll receive this gift and you'll understand that God's going to change your whole identity. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So let's sing this with all of our hearts and sit in awe about what God has done for us.
Amen. When Pastor Dan was talking this morning,